This is DH Radio on CJMQ 88.9 FM. My name is Sheila Q, and let me tell you guys, if you've been listening to DH Radio, you've already heard this guy, and you already know that I became madly obsessed a few weeks ago after attending a concert in Montreal. There was a band by the name of Montreal playing at Metropolis, one of Montreal's great venues. This name appeared before Of Montreal, Rich O'Quinn. I wondered, who is this? You know, what's this all about? But with Of Montreal and their style, I thought, well, I think this is going to be an adventure. So why the heck not? Let's go. We're going to take in this opening act as well and the whole thing. Well, let me tell you, if it wasn't for Of Montreal's antics and their wonderful stage presence, they would have been completely and utterly upstaged by what preceded them. Rich O'Quinn, a show to beat all shows, the most interactive. I have been to a lot of concerts, and the most interactive, connected show I think I've ever been to. It's particularly for an opening act. Rich, yeah. How are you?
I'm really great. How are you doing, Sheila?
Great. Now, you're a Nova Scotia boy, I believe, mm-hmm. Which made me quite proud to be like, those are some Canadian rockers up there on that stage right now. It felt like, okay, no, we're going to go back into the past. We're going to delve into the past of Rich O'Quinn, and then we're going to come back to that show. So let's get started with where you started. Tell me about your drive and interest and ambition to do music.
I guess I've always really liked music and played in school bands and rock bands growing up, and then when university came around, rather than doing a music degree, I did a degree in philosophy. And
where did you study?
Study at Dal and King's College in Halifax there. So King's is my official school, but I did philosophy at Dal and contemporary studies at King's. And then I didn't really get credited for it, but all my electives were pretty much eaten up by music classes. So did experimental music and music and cinema and bunch of theory classes and stuff. So I've been studying music for a while, and then as soon as the end of my degree rolled around, I was like, I'm gonna make a record. So I made a record by myself, which is my first record, which I just called Personal Publication.
Yes.
And then I flew out to Victoria and did my first tour by biking home from Victoria to Halifax.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Now, so you performed, when you did that tour, you went on your own?
Yeah. So I just took my projector that I wrote the songs to sync up to, and I also wrote that record to sync up to How the Grinch Stole Christmas.
Yes.
The same way that Pink Floyd syncs up with The Wizard of Oz. And so I brought the projector, my laptop, a couple keyboards, my trumpet, and glockenspiel, and microphone, and put it in a trailer behind the bike and started going.
Okay, you know what? I wish there was DH video in the studio here at CJMQ, because my face just kind of did this explosion thing, because I was at the show at the show a few weeks ago at Metropolis. I was watching the screen with rapt fascination as scenes from The Grinch played. Mm-hmm. And now that completely and totally, absolutely, that I don't know why I didn't make the connection right away with It's Dark Side of
There's
the Moon.
There's a lot
going
on in the show, so it's hard to kind of see.
It was so satisfying, though. Very
along at the same time.
Oh, it's so, I mean, completely, so totally stimulating, though. It was so much fun.
Yeah, definitely try and make it an over-sensory sort of experience.
That's what it is. And the thing is, as well, is, I mean, that's one thing to do if you are the main act. But as opening act, I think you just surprised the heck out of everyone. And I really enjoyed watching that. Now, normally, when I go to a show, I'm on the floor and as close as I can get and, you know, whatever. But for now that I've begun reviewing shows, I tend to sit back somewhat. So
right.
I was up in the, actually, it was right where you came up right to us at one point with
when
your
I played the trumpet. Yeah,
I was right there. I was in that little tiny cluster of people. And But watching from there, having this kind of viewpoint of the crowd down below and up in the balcony, you managed to reach like people all the way in the back, and the floor, it was just ridiculous. It was it was really something.
Yeah, there was quite a dance party going on.
Yeah. All right, so this is where it's just been a blossoming force in who you are, this music thing. But I love the fact that you didn't make it only about that. I think a lot of people try to sort of flavor things up with the things that intrigue them and interest them. So the whole idea of going into philosophy, how would you say that your studies, other than the music classes that you took, would you say that has influenced your approach to being a musician?
Oh, I'm sure anyone who studies philosophy, I'm sure it trickles into all their facets of their life.
What would you say are the things about studying philosophy that intrigued you the most, or were the parts that you wound up focusing more on or being attracted to?
I'm not sure if any particular idea was prevalent throughout my studies, but I definitely really enjoyed the whole process of analytical analysis.
Mm-hmm.
So I really liked just the mind exercise of the whole degree and studying so many different unique ideas and kind of really having time in my life in school to just think about those things and not be an education for some sort of practical outcome, but for just education's sake.
Yeah, to learn, like get out there and learn and make that brain grow. Well, you know what? I think we should put on some music so people know what we're talking about here and this whole Rich Okoye idea, because wow, yeah, it's about having socks blown off completely and so prepare to have your senses completely stimulated, folks, and keep listening. More from Rich Okoye on DH Radio at CJMQ 88.9 FM right after this. Part two of my interview with Rich Okoye here on DH Radio at CJMQ 88.9 FM. Now, Rich, what about some of the touring that you've done since taking off and touring across country on your bike? Wait a second, like, do you mean a bicycle?
Yeah, bicycle.
Really?
Yeah.
How did you, now, well, what did you put your gear in? How did you?
And I carried it behind me in a trailer.
Wow, that is beautiful. Now wait, point A and point B was, you started in BC?
Started in, yeah, Victoria.
And you ended in?
In Halifax.
You did not?
Yeah.
How long did it take you?
3 months.
And how many spots did you hit? Do you have stats about that?
Yeah, I played 40 shows and pretty much went straight across the country, except I took a detour up to Edmonton and over to Saskatoon before heading back down to Winnipeg. So that tagged on a little bit. But,
wow.
Played most cities.
And what about collaborating with other artists? How did you find your venues or that sort of thing?
I booked the tour by myself a few months before I started biking, and I'd never really biked before, so it was kind of daunting at first.
You never really biked before, so let's take all the gear and bike across the country?
Yeah.
And perform?
Yeah, it was kind of just go with it, sort of.
You're my hero, man. What about highlights of doing that? Were there some odd things or interesting things or whatnot that went on?
There were crazy hailstorms in the prairies. Everyone told me to go west to east because the trade winds coming down from the mountains means that, like, if it's a nice day, you'll have the wind at your back the whole prairies, but if it's not a nice day, it's a double whammy because you are biking in the rain or hail and the wind is against you. So I unfortunately caught bad weather and only had the wind at my back for one day during the prairies. And it was amazing. For that one day, I was like going like 50 kilometers an hour. And it was like so nice. And I was like, this is great. I should just not stop biking right now to see how far I can get. And then every other day, it was like, averaging around like 10 kilometers an hour. It's like almost just a bit faster than walking.
Do you have an idea about how much it costs you to get across? like to do that?
Yeah, I don't know. I luckily Subway gave me a lot of free subs, which is nice. I was raising money for childhood cancer research.
Mm-hmm.
So I was getting people to pledge me all the way across, and it was funny because there was another guy doing it at the same time who wasn't a musician, just was biking across Canada, and he had like all the press and like had a big RV behind him, and so I joked with my parents that he was like the Goliath, and I was David there going by myself with my trumpet and
your hailstones,
and so he had like all this support, and like I think he raised something like $1 million or something, which was awesome. But I had like all this like corporate sponsorship, and then I was just, you know, getting people to throw a $5 donation at the end of the show,
right?
Sort of thing. So,
but it's the whole experience, right?
Yeah, yeah. So I raised, I think I raised $3,500.
Wow.
And I was gonna say, yeah. So I'm not sure. A lot of people were really nice to like let me sleep on their couches, and couchsurfing.com is quite amazing.
I've heard of that, but I've never benefited from it.
Oh,
that's pretty neat.
You get to meet some fantastic people.
Wow. Couchsurfing.com. Okay, everybody needs to remember that one. Wow, I'm just in complete awe of that, the idea of that kind of experience. And there's something really pure behind it, though, too, to decide to go in and do it. So I get when people have these events where they go and they wind up with a big following and big press and big whatever, but I think there's something to be said for being able to not just doing it, but being having the tenacity to get through it and make your way across the country when it's your one-man show and one-man cheerleading squad and
yeah.
so on. There must have been moments where you were
lonely times.
What am I doing?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, the only really tough parts were like first mountains, because I never really biked, so it was like what did I sign myself up for?
You've got such energy and seem like a guy who's pretty well in shape, though. So at least you had that going for
yeah.
you.
Yeah,
I'm just still amazed. Decide, yeah,
at least
I'll
I
just...
got in shape at a certain point.
Maybe that's why I'm seeing you post trip across.
Yeah.
So what were your dates? When were you gone?
I went. I think the first show was May 13th or something like that. The last one was August 14th.
Okay.
Like
wow.
It was like 96 days, I think. Whatever the dates of that was. It was like 96 days on the road and 81 days of biking.
So then
I decided the next record I wanted to do the opposite from the first, and instead of just doing it by myself, I wanted to record it with everyone. So I went back across the country again, but this time I like drove or flew or like basically took any sort of mass transit, so train, boat, plane, carpools, and I spent like a week in each city and recorded with 500 people.
Wow.
And then spent like a year going over all their parts and editing them together into the record that I just finished.
That which is entitled?
Public Publication.
There you go. I love it. That's just phenomenally cool. Now, how about touring this summer? Over the course of since that time, since recording?
And then, yeah, this summer, I just went around for the first time playing a lot of festivals.
Mm-hmm.
A few back here in Oceaga and in Toronto and then it's been pretty busy. Just like every weekend I've been playing a show somewhere or other.
So Oceaga, when you were performing there, I saw you at Metropolis, but you played at the park as well, right? At Park.
Yeah, that
Park
was just a happy accident. A band couldn't make it, so I after kind of partying kind of late after the Metropolis show,
mm-hmm.
I woke to a phone call saying that we were playing the main stage, and I had to get ready as fast as possible.
Oh my goodness, really?
Yeah.
Well, I heard that you completely rocked out there, because other people that I knew, one friend who had been at the Metropolis show got to see you for a second time and was quite proud to be like, yeah, I know this. Yeah,
nice.
You know.
Yeah, that's cool.
And see and watch the crowd freak out. And apparently you climbed a tree. I heard you.
I did. That was the, and then I also, I think I was the only artist, or I definitely was the only artist that, played the busking stage, the main stage, and the in the city stage. So I did the climb the tree during the busking one.
There you go. Oh man, what a trip, and to be in Montreal and wind up performing that much too.
Yeah.
So who was on stage with you? Talk to me about who you were performing with in Montreal.
There's my band from here. As a drummer and a bass player and keyboard player named Daryl, Eric, and Joel.
I'm asking because as much as you've spoken about spending a lot of time going and performing on your own, there was a really great connection between you guys as artists on stage. So I was kind of surprised and there was a lot of moving around on stage
and so on.
And I think you have the smiliest drummer I have ever seen.
He was
everybody was connected with the audience so much. I mean, handing out tambourines and I loved at one point you said, do you remember playing with a parachute in gym class? And I thought, no. And you launched out, we're going to play popcorn. And when you launched out that multicolored parachute, exactly like the ones that we would have used in elementary school, and stretched that out over the crowd, I mean, everybody, that you could just see from the far corners of Metropolis, that everybody was, you just had everybody such rapt attention. And karaoke with every song.
Yeah, yeah.
With a big screen, and at the very least, the lyrics to the chorus up there. It was just perfect. Wow. What did you think of Montreal? Had you performed there when you were on your way across before?
Yeah, I performed on the bike tour. I played at the Divin Orange.
Yes.
And I love that place. And then... I played on the recording tour. I played at KGB.
Yep.
And on this like kind of spring tour that I just did, I played at Il Motore.
Mm-hmm.
So I've had some fun times there.
Wow. No.
It's good to see. I saw some people at Oceaga that were at the Il Motore show, which is really nice.
There's talk about you being back this fall, I hear.
Yeah, I'm playing at, where am I playing? Playing at, oh sorry, now this is where I'm going to slow down here.
That's all right.
What is the venue called? It is,
while he looks, I'll just a reminder to the audience, Rich O'Coin, the interactive performer. Now, this is somebody who's not shy to get involved with the audience and get the audience involved as well. It's kind of like, the only way I could describe it was, sort of like being at a pep rally or day camp and having this, the day camp monitor or counselor that everyone hero worships, that's Rich O'Coin on stage. And so it's so interesting to hear you so quiet, because let me tell you, when this guy is in front of an audience, it's not the same kind of interaction. There's so much going on, and you're so drawn in, and you just want to be a part of it, you know?
Nice. Well, that's good to hear. That's I hope people are feel that way. That's good.
We have to get you to Sherbrooke. That just has to happen when you're here this fall.
Yeah,
we have to figure out some
awesome
way.
Well, my tour actually ends in Montreal at, and I found the venue, it's called the Belmont.
Yes.
So
do you have your date for that?
Saturday, October 16th.
Nice. Great. Well, we have to make that happen then. We got to get you to come down here and play in Sherbrooke this fall.
Yeah, that'd be real fun.
Okay, so Rich O'Coin, we're going to play some more music, and then we're going to come back with the final four. So hang tight, everybody. part three and the final section of my final segment of my interview with Rich Okwei, the guy to know. You guys need to be paying attention to this interview because there may not be this many occasions to be able to sit down and have this great interview that's lasted so long and to take in the show. Really?
Yeah.
Well, bring it on, man, because you're going to be a superstar. You're on your way. It's just like, it's so wonderful. All right. Well, you know, you won't get out of the DH Radio without the final four. So, Rich Okwei, you ready?
Mm-hmm.
All right. What would you say is your greatest strength?
Ooh, I did not expect that one. I guess maybe just kind of going for stuff that that seems unlikely.
I could see that.
I'll definitely try and do something even if it doesn't work out.
All right. So, okay. Now, inversely, what would you say is your greatest weakness?
Greatest weakness would probably be... I'm not sure if weakness or like, but like I spend way too much time working, so that's probably not a good thing. I should probably balance it out more.
Everybody else gets to play because you work so hard, but you need to be able to play sometimes too.
Yeah, like it. The shows are really fun, but then all the things around the shows are so much time-consuming.
Oh my goodness, yes. I can completely imagine that. So what would you say is your favorite candy?
Favorite candy? Wine chews, or what are they? I'm not sure what they're called.
Yeah, like the wine gum candies kind of thing?
Maynard's ones. Yeah,
yeah, Maynard's.
Yeah.
Nice.
Really good.
All right, and what would you say you would like to be remembered for?
I don't know. Whatever people want, but maybe as long as I'd be like, oh, that guy, he definitely made sure I had a fun night one night.
Or several, because the thing is I don't know how anybody is going to be able to not just follow you. Like, after seeing your show, I thought, I think I want to see that all over again. And then I think I want to go and see him perform again somewhere tomorrow. You know, like, it was, so we would, your fans just might exhaust you. So make sure to look after yourself. But
great. Actually, I did play a house party one time, and then I was like, I have to leave right now because I have a real show right after this, and then a bunch of people left the party and came to the show? Came to the show, and I was like, oh, sorry for breaking up the party a bit.
No, it's because you brought the party. That's a pretty darn good sign, I think I would say. Mm-hmm. Well, look, thank you so much for the interview, and we'll be promoing that show in October 16th at the Belmont in Montreal, and I will most definitely be there, so thank you so much.
Yeah, no problem.
Rich Okwei. This is DH Radio.